two airplanes, converging, same altitude, closing on each other at a combined speed north of 200 knots. You see him, he sees you. Somebody has to move. The question is who? If you had to answer that right now, out loud, no hesitation, could you? Because this week, over a little town in Wisconsin called Ripon, there are hundreds of pilots asking themselves that exact question. And the good news is, the answer is written down. It has been written down for decades. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to talk about the right-of-way rules, Federal Aviation Regulation 91.113, and I promise you, by the end of this, it is going to make sense in your gut, not just on paper. Because right now, as I'm talking, the busiest airport in the world is a grass and asphalt field in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. EAA AirVenture is happening this very week, and the airplanes stacked up on the Fisk arrival following that railroad track northeast are the single best classroom in the country for learning who yields to whom. Let's walk through this together. Before we do, quick word about some folks I genuinely like. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you sweat and money and more than a few early mornings. aviationsoul.com, go take a look. All right, right of way. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The right-of-way rules are not really about who gets to keep flying straight. They are about giving both pilots a shared script so that in the half second you have to decide, you both move the right direction instead of both jinking the same way and making it worse. Think about it. If two people walk toward each other in a hallway and both step left, they collide. Step, counterstep, step, counterstep. It's almost funny on foot. It is not funny at 100 knots. So the regulation gives us a script. Let me give you the whole thing and then we'll break it into pieces you can actually use. Start with the number one rule, the one that sits on top of everything else. 91.113, paragraph B. When weather conditions permit, regardless of whether an operation is conducted under instrument flight rules or visual flight rules, each person operating an aircraft shall maintain vigilance so as to see and avoid other aircraft. Read that again in your head. Regardless of who has the right of way, regardless of whether you're on an instrument flight plan, see and avoid comes first. The right of way rules tell you who should yield. They never ever give you permission to fly into somebody. The examiner is looking for exactly that understanding, by the way. If you say on your check ride, well, I had the right of way, so I held my course into him, you have failed the point of the entire regulation. Having the right of way is a responsibility to be predictable. It is not a license to be stubborn, okay? With that foundation, let's build the hierarchy. And there is a hierarchy, a pecking order of who yields to whom, based mostly on how maneuverable you are. At the very top of the food chain sits the aircraft in distress. Anybody having an emergency has the right of way over all other air traffic, full stop. If somebody declares or you can see they're in trouble, they own the sky. You get out of the way. That one is easy and it's human. Now, below that, the order runs from least maneuverable to most maneuverable. And that logic is the key that unlocks the whole thing. The airplane that can do the least about its situation gets the right of way. The airplane that can most easily maneuver has to be the one to give way. It's fair and it's practical, so here is the ladder, from top to bottom. A balloon has the right of way over everything else because a balloon goes where the wind goes. It can climb and it can descend, and that's about it. It can't turn to miss you, so everybody yields to the balloon. Next down, a glider. A glider has no engine. It is trading altitude for time, working lift, and it cannot just add power to climb out of your way. So gliders yield to balloons, but everything else yields to gliders. Next, an aircraft towing or refueling other aircraft. Think of a banner tow or a tug pulling a glider aloft. That combination is clumsy. It's connected. It can't maneuver sharply, so it gives way to balloons and gliders. But powered airplanes and rotorcraft give way to it. And then at the bottom of the ladder, the most maneuverable group. Airplanes, helicopters, airships, powered parachutes, weight shift control aircraft. That's most of us. That's the Cessna 172 and the Piper Cherokee and the RV in the Pattern. We yield to everybody above us on that ladder because we've got an engine and controls and we can most easily turn, climb, or descend to make room. There's a lovely little exception tucked in there. an airship, a blimp, gives way to gliders and balloons and tow operations. But when a powered airplane meets an airship, the airplane gives way to the airship because the airship is bigger and less nimble than your typical light single. You will probably never need that one, but now you know it. So that's the ladder. Least maneuverable wins. Memorize the order and you'll never guess. Let's stop for a second because I know that's a lot of categories. Here's the practical truth. 95% of your real-world right-of-way decisions are going to be airplane meeting airplane, same category. So the interesting question is, what happens when two of us, both in powered airplanes, both perfectly capable of maneuvering, meet up? The ladder doesn't help. We're on the same rung. That's where the geometry rules come in, and these are the ones you use every single flight. Three situations: converging, approaching head-on, and overtaking. Let's take them one at a time, converging first. Two airplanes roughly the same altitude on courses that cross, not head-on but angling toward the same point in space. The rule is simple and I want you to burn it in. The aircraft to the other's right has the right of way, say it again. When aircraft of the same category are converging, the one on the right has the right of way, so picture yourself in the left seat looking out. If there's traffic converging from your right side, coming from your right, he has the right of way. You give way, you yield. And the way you yield matters, we'll get to that in a second. If the traffic is converging from your left, then you are the airplane on his right. You have the right of way. You hold your course and speed predictably, and you keep watching him like a hawk. Because remember, see and avoid still rules everything. Here's the memory trick I give my students. It's the same as a four-way stop in your car. The guy on your right goes first. Traffic from the right has the right of way. Right has the right. That little rhyme has saved more than one check ride. Now, one more wrinkle on converging. If the two aircraft are of different categories, the category order we just talked about takes over and beats the right of way to the right rule. So a powered airplane converging with a glider yields to the glider no matter which side it's on. The category ladder wins when the categories are different. The right-hand rule is for when you're the same. Keep those separate in your head. Second situation, head-on, or nearly so. Two airplanes approaching each other, more or less nose-to-nose. This is the hallway problem I mentioned earlier, and the regulation solves it beautifully. When aircraft are approaching each other head-on, or nearly so, each pilot shall alter course to the right. Both of you, not one, both. Each of you turns right. You turn to your right, he turns to his right. And now you slide past each other left wingtip to left wingtip, both airplanes drifting apart. Nobody had the right-of-way in a head-on. It's shared. Everybody moves right. Why right? Because it's a convention. Same as the road, and a shared convention is the whole point. If we both know the rule, we both turn the same relative direction, and it works every time. Turn right. When in doubt, when you see something coming straight at you, and you're not sure of the angle, turn right. You will very rarely be wrong. Third situation. Overtaking. You're coming up behind a slower airplane. Maybe you're in a faster airplane on a cross country, and there's a cub ambling along at 65 knots and you're doing 140 in closing. The rule, the aircraft being overtaken has the right of way. The overtaking aircraft shall alter course to the right to pass well clear. So the slow airplane, the one in front, keeps doing exactly what it's doing. It has the right of way. You, the faster airplane coming from behind, you are responsible for the whole maneuver. You alter course to the right and you pass well clear. Not close, well clear. That guy in front may not even know you're there. Assume he doesn't. Give him room. Notice the theme running through all three. Turn right, turn right, turn right. Converging, you may be the one giving way to your right, head on, both turn right, overtaking, pass on the right, 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 right. If you remember nothing else from today, remember that the safe, reflexive answer, the one that's almost always compatible with the rules, is turn to the right. Let's pause and let that settle. Now let me add one more because it lives right next door in the regulation and it catches people. And
it's 9113, paragraph G. Aircraft on final approach to land or while landing have the right of way over other aircraft in flight or operating on the surface. And when two or more aircraft are approaching an airport for landing, the aircraft at the lower altitude has the right of way. But, and this is the part the examiner loves, you shall not take advantage of this rule to cut in front of another aircraft that is on final or to overtake that aircraft. So the lower airplane on approach has the right of way, but you can't abuse it. You can't dive down underneath somebody who's established on final and steal the runway by getting lower. That's using the letter of the rule to violate the spirit of it, and it's dangerous, and it's a bust. Now, Let's bring all of this to Oshkosh because this is a training show and I want you to see this working in the real world. This week, right now, picture the Fisk arrival. You've flown the AirVenture Notice to Air Missions, the NOTAM, which is that thick booklet every arriving pilot studies like scripture. You've come down the railroad tracks. You're holding 90 knots and 1,800 feet or 9,100 feet in higher speed if you're faster, exactly as the NOTAM tells you, because standardization is the whole survival strategy in that conga line.
And here's the beautiful thing. That entire arrival is the right-of-way rules turned into a procedure. Everyone at the same altitude, everyone at the same speed, everyone doing the same thing. Why? Because when everyone is predictable, converging geometry mostly disappears. You're not crossing paths. You're following. It's a single-file line, and single-file is the safest geometry there is. But it does break down sometimes. Somebody's too fast and closes on the airplane ahead. Now you've got an overtaking situation. What's the rule? The airplane ahead has the right-of-way. You, closing from behind, you're the one who has to solve it. In the Oshkosh environment, the controllers will help. They'll tell you to do a 360 or to rock your wings and follow a different airplane. But the underlying regulation is exactly what we talked about. The overtaken aircraft has the right-of-way. Or somebody rejoins the line from the side, converging from your right. Right has the right. He's got it. You extend, you slow, you let him in, you stay predictable. This is why the NOTAM works. It is 91-113 pre-solved and handed to you in a booklet so that 10,000 airplanes can land at one field in a week without touching each other. Now let me give you the practical takeaways. The stuff for your next flight, whether you're going to Oshkosh or just out to the practice area on a Tuesday first. When you spot converging traffic and you have to yield, don't just nudge. The regulation says you may not pass over, under, or ahead of the other aircraft unless well clear. So when you give way, turn behind him. Aim for his tail, not his nose. Passing behind traffic is almost always the safe move. Passing ahead of him trying to beat him across is how mid-airs happen, go behind. Second, yield early and yield obviously. If you're going to give way, do it while you're far apart and make it a clear, definite maneuver so the other pilot can see what you're doing and trust it. A big, early, deliberate turn communicates a tiny late twitch confuses. Be readable. Third, even when you have the right of way, keep maneuvering room in your back pocket. Having the right of way is not a force field. The other pilot might not see you. So hold your course predictably, yes, but stay ready to break away if he doesn't move. See and avoid is on you no matter what the rule says. Fourth, and this is the mindset one, stop thinking of it as who wins. Start thinking of it as who's the choreographer. In any encounter, one of you is assigned the job of moving. If it's you, own it, do it early, do it big. If it's the other guy, be so predictable that he can do his job easily. It's a two-person dance, and the regulation just tells you who leads. For those of you prepping for a check ride, here's how this shows up. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, expects you to know the right-of-way rules cold under the airport operations and the navigation and see and avoid tasks. The examiner may just ask you flat-out, converging traffic from your right, who has the right-of-way. You should be able to answer without a pause. He does. I give way and I turn behind him, and then they'll push you. They'll say, okay, you have the right of way, so what do? And the answer they want is not, I keep flying straight and it's his problem. The answer is, I maintain my course and speed to stay predictable, and I keep watching him and I'm ready to maneuver if he doesn't. That answer tells the examiner you understand that 91-113B, see and avoid, sits on top of the whole regulation. That's the pilot they want to sign off. Learning this stuff is not glamorous. Regulations are dry. Nobody got into flying because they dreamed about paragraph G of a federal reg. I get it. Flight training is hard, and it's expensive, and there's a lot to hold in your head all at once. But this one keeps you alive in a crowd, and there is no bigger crowd in aviation than the sky over Ripon and Fisk this very week. So here's your homework. Next time you're up and you spot traffic, run the script in your head out loud. Converging from the right, he's got it. I go behind, head on. We both turn right. Overtaking, I pass well clear to the right. Say it enough times on quiet days and it'll be there for you on the loud one. The right-of-way rules live in Federal Aviation Regulation 91-113, and if you want to read the whole thing yourself, and you should, it's right there in the FAA's regulations, and the Aeronautical Information Manual walks through it too. The AirVenture NOTAM I mentioned comes straight from EAA and the FAA, and it's worth reading even if you're watching this year from the couch. You'll find more at radiohanger.com whenever you want it. Two airplanes meet over Ripon. Somebody moves, somebody holds, and everybody goes home. Now you know which one you are. I'm Pattern. Keep your eyes outside, and I'll see you next time.